Cup Podcast. I'm your host, Xavier Schley, and today I'm with...
Cody Lankford.
And Brandon Parsons.
Yeah, and you guys are both current students at UAA?
Yes.
In the
yes,
construction management program? Well, first off, what made you pick that major? Was it your first major?
It was actually not my first major. I graduated with another degree.
Oh, so this is your second degree?
Second degree, but at the time when I graduated, I was working for my current company in construction.
Which is what?
Granite Construction.
Okay. Oh, both of you are at Granite?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And so it just kind of rolled seamlessly that they were looking for some new people. And
In the program?
And
you already had a degree and you were already working for Granite. What were you doing for Granite?
I was actually a material technician, so...
That's what my background is in.
Oh, right on. So, yeah, that was kind of my background, and it just rolled seamlessly into moving up the ladder towards a project engineer and PM.
And what about you? What made you choose it?
I started with civil engineering. I think the only reason I went into civil engineering was just... I really didn't know what I wanted to do. As a kid, my dad always kind of told me, oh, you like to build things, you know, you're going to be an engineer. You like numbers, you're going to be an engineer. That's kind of the path I followed. Realized about halfway through into it that, you know, I do enjoy math, do enjoy the physics and all that, but I just think that this wasn't my field.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up talking to one of the vice presidents of Roger Hickel, actually, and he gave me some great experience through his projects and just kind of the projects that they work with, you know, the situations they work with, and I just got really interested with it, and I was like, you know what, maybe I should look into the construction management program. Started looking into it, looked at a couple classes. I was like, hey, I could, you know, this seems really interesting, you know, a bunch of processes. So I went to the construction management route, and ever since then, I mean, I love it, all those classes, you know, I'm happy to go to the classes. I actually want to learn, you know, I want to learn more, I want to get more experience hands-on, and I definitely enjoy it now.
Well, I interviewed Chris Jensen.
Yeah, Chris Jensen.
Yeah. Quite a while ago about the program a little bit. So once you made the decision to get in the construction management program, is it just a list of classes or is it what's the process like once you decide I'm interested in this? Like, who do you talk to at UAA?
So usually you meet up with one of the, I think they call them student success coach, but it's a counselor, basically.
Oh, nice. Right.
And, we have...
So each one of you has somebody like that you talk to about the classes and stuff?
Yeah, well, it's like, her name's Kirsten. She's a wonderful lady, but she kind of, lines each CM student up as far as, a outlook on the program. And
when you say lines up, is that, this semester you should be thinking about these three classes?
Yeah, she would suggest, classes, you know, your workload, and she would say that, I think these classes work well, with each other, and then you can take these ones the next semester, and she'd kind of help you out because some classes are only offered in the fall, some are only offered in the spring, so she kind of gets you on that track so that you're not, a year behind, you accidentally schedule the wrong class.
Yeah.
Now you're like, oh, I have to wait a whole another year to take this class.
can you tell me just a little bit about the program generally? I mean, I know there's certain classes, but what else makes the construction management program unique to other programs at UAA?
I think a big one is the just how the industry helps the program so much. Where I've never been in the engineering program, but I'm sure Brandon could talk about it. But engineering, it seems like school is like your main focus. Mm-hmm. Where with CM, it seems like you have so much industry backing that we're always coming to these AGC events and they help us a lot. And I feel like that's a major key to the success of the CM program.
I would agree. Yeah.
Just outside industry and AGC and everyone else helping the students.
And is it an internship? Does everyone do an internship?
Yeah, you're required to graduate. You have to have an internship, and I believe it's about 210 hours, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's 210 hours total, and you're allowed to clock.
I think you're allowed to clock 40 hours a week, but I mean, obviously, in the summertime, you're working way more than 210 hours. So, I think that was definitely great though because. Being in the construction management program, I've always kind of had, small jobs, maybe I've done, remodeling, so kind of done a little bit of residential work, but nothing, intern-wise. So them requiring an internship, I thought that was great because I got the experience. I got on with Granite. They lined me out. They just, you know, kind of showed me the outline and then let me loose. And
What was your internship like? What kind of stuff did you do?
So I was a little bit different than a regular intern. They had their intern spots kind of filled up, so I was a QC technician / intern.
Mm-hmm.
So I mainly focused on just the QC work.
So you both kind of came out of materials.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that was actually a great learning experience for me, because I kind of see how it starts from the bottom, you know, and works its way up. And then if some little thing goes wrong with quality control, it's like, you know, hold on a second, we got to fix this before we can keep on, you know, going. And I just thought it was great to see, you know, I show up to a job site, nothing's done to it, you know, and then a couple months on down the road, I show back up to the job site, or I'm still on that job site, and then you see the start product to the finished product, and you're just kind of like, wow, you know, look at what we just accomplished. You know, I just, that process was always interesting to me, and that's kind of why I got into construction as well, because I always wanted to see, you know, as a kid, I'm driving through a construction site, and I'm like, oh, I wonder how they start that project, or what are they even doing, you know, and it just always got me pretty interested.
And are you guys paid when you're doing your internships?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I think that's company to company. Like, I'm pretty sure that's not a college requirement. Like,
that they pay you.
They pay you. But, yeah, as far as I know, everyone who's done the internship has
been
paid, yeah.
It'd be pretty tough to, you know, do an internship, be in school, and not receive any, you know, any money.
Yeah, not get paid.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, when you think about it, like, it's also just a good job for a kid in college.
Get your foot in the door, and that's exactly what I wanted, to just, you know, show I'm present, you know, here I am, I'm ready to learn. I'd love to work my way up, and kind of just like, how do I do that?
Yeah, and unlike a lot of kids that graduate from college, like, you already have work experience.
Yeah, exactly.
The degree.
I feel like that's a big point, is that they push the internship so hard. Well, it's required, so obviously they push it, but job placement's that much easier for all the students.
Better.
What
do you do? What was your internship? Was it also?
My internship was like a project engineer internship. Oh. So yeah, I just, like I said, I started in materials and rolled into that spot.
Did either of you do the competition?
We're both on the competition team this year, and then Brandon actually did it last year.
I did it last year as well.
Let's walk some people through what that. Just outline what that entails, or what the competition is.
Okay, basically, so the ASC competition down in Reno is where a large number of schools gather, and there's different teams. So you can have a design build team, you can have a civil team, commercial team, and so on and so forth. And we focus on the civil, the civil aspect of it, so we're on that team. And what it is we'll receive a bid at about, I believe it's like 6 a.m.
6 a.m.,
and you have 14 hours, I believe. So they put you in the real world, and they give you a bid. No one's ever seen it before, and you know, there's no numbers on it or anything like that. You have no internet access. Get the bid at about 6 a.m. You review it, go over it, and then you're gonna create your own bid and turn it in. And you know, you have a whole binder, everything, you know, real world stuff. They throw addendums at you. They'll hit you with an addendum at the last hour, you know, changing out subs, so it stresses you out a little bit, but definitely great experience. So, yeah, basically, you're putting a bid together, you know, you got your binder together, you got to turn it in at a certain place, certain time, otherwise they won't review it, and I believe that's 10 p.m. As soon as you turn in your binder, you now have 7 hours, or I believe 8 hours, to start your presentation on that bid.
Wait, this is all.
You're awake for about 30 plus hours.
Yeah. And then at the end, you have to present on the project and your bid. So
it's awful.
After staying up all night working on a presentation.
You know, when you're in it, you're kind of like, you get down to the last hours and you've been up for so long, you're like, oh, this is a little bit miserable. But once you actually finish and you've got that experience, you're like, I would do this again. Yeah, like, that was actually fun, you know, enjoyable. So that's pretty much what it is. And after that, you give your presentation, and then you'll wait for everybody else to be finished, and then they'll judge you and kind of give everyone's scores, showing, like, here's what their bid was at, here's what their adjusted bid was, because, you know, you get some numbers messed up, and it was just a great process. You know, it's just a real-world situation.
How'd you guys do last year?
We didn't place, but I believe but honestly, we missed one piece of paper in the bid
box. Really?
So did not make us place, but this year we're ready and we're a lot more prepared.
What up? So, is how much of your score is based on you winning the bid, i.e. being the low bidder?
I don't think there's actually
it's not. Technically, you can win the bid without being the lowest
bidder. Yeah, you could be 20 million over and you could still win.
Right.
Because really what they're looking for is that you have all the bid docs. Basically, they give you a list of deliverables. So we have to put together a project schedule, preliminary project schedule. Bid estimate and then like bid documents and some other basically site layouts, plans and all that stuff. And that's where most our points come from anyway, is those deliverables. So
I like all the misery that they
put
on it. Like, I don't know, for some reason like it does make it seem a little more realistic.
Yeah, my understanding is that they, even the judges will come around to like, because you're in a room basically with your team. And the judges will come around and try to like throw you off your game by getting you to do like these different like random tasks.
Oh yeah, they'll pull you out of your rooms. I think it's like twice throughout the whole time, and they'll just have you make. I think last year all it was is they're like, here's some ice cream, and then here's some Legos to build, and you'd have like two team members go behind a wall, have to see what the figure looks like, come back and explain it without touching it, explain to the other team members, you know, what part goes where, and then it's at a race, and they throw you off with the ice cream because then they're like. As you're trying to eat the ice cream, you're also trying to construct the Lego. So,
yeah, awesome. Definitely puts you through a little bit of misery.
Yeah, this just distracting you a little bit. Throw some curveballs.
How much did, like you're talking about the industry partnerships with the program, how much does that help you for the competition?
Oh, it's, I don't think we could do the competition without the industry.
Right.
I mean, from like funding to even practicing. I mean, funding, I mean, everyone knows the UAA budget cuts this year.
Yeah.
So they basically told Chris Jensen, who is our actually coach, they told him basically that we would get no funding or support from the UAA.
Mm-hmm. And it was all on us.
Yeah, it was all on the team, and thankfully we had the industry to back
How
us.
How much do you have to come up with? What's it cost to get down there and get everybody?
So basically a bare minimum. So we take a team of six people, and then we have the option of taking two alternates who participate in like a – different competition. But for all eight people, I think it was, what, 18,000?
I think comfortably it would be around 18,000.
Yeah, for like airfare and all that stuff. And this year, industry has been crazy help. I mean, super generous. Like, we hit our goal real fast.
Yes,
and
yeah.
We even have enough money that we're going to roll some money into next year's fund.
That's awesome.
And, so yeah,
it doesn't mean we're done, you know, fundraising though.
Yeah,
we're
always, right,
always trying to fundraise. I mean, I think this is a great benefit for the students, and
I would agree. Yeah,
yeah, if we can keep this going year after year, it's.
So what's the prep work like for it? What do you mean, like Chris helps you guys get ready, but what kind of stuff do you do?
So we actually meet once a week right now, and we meet like Wednesdays for 3 hours, and basically, Chris will give us these different bids and basically. Kind of do the same thing as what they were doing in the competition, just over more like a 3 week span rather than a 1 day.
Yeah.
And he'll usually try and hit us with a little bit more complicated problem or bid that he would think we'd be presented at the competition just to, you know, kind of get us prepared, you know.
Yeah. So we'll practice doing our takeoffs and putting together bid binders and schedules and
schedules.
Everything else. And basically, it just, I mean, it helps. And then outside of like just giving us bids, like Chris will give us little like insiders, like, just, you know, little tips and tricks of the trade and how to do a bid and everything else.
What more to focus on, you know, the big ticket items.
Yeah. So, yeah, like the industry also helps us in that aspect, too. Like, Chris will have people come in and help teach.
Oh, yeah.
Like, actual project managers and actual schedulers.
Teach us programs as well, you know, get us real familiar with it rather than just being at the competition, spending, you know, an hour or two trying to figure out what you're actually doing.
Yeah, so we're learning like, heavy bid and P6 and Blue Beam and all
awesome,
Plan
man.
Swift. I mean, all the real world programs that you actually use.
Well, like the one sort of complaint people have about, like, you hire an engineer right out of college, it's great that they learned, you know, differential equations, but that's not necessarily relevant to what they do.
Right.
So, unlike those programs, you come out with a whole lot of real world experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Right before you leave college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, yeah, if any students are listening to this, I would definitely recommend doing the competition, get involved.
And it definitely helps with job searching as well. If you don't really want to stay in Alaska, there was numerous.
Yeah.
I mean, there was probably about 100 companies there,
yeah.
And most of them were out of what, California, kind of the Bay Area as well.
Yeah, a lot of Well, so it's the competition's broken up into two regions, kind of. So, like, there's a Region 7 and a Region 6, and we participated in Region 6, which is mm-hmm. basically, like, Northwest, like Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Arizona, Idaho, all those schools.
Well, and the people that are coming in to teach you are people, if you want to work in Alaska, these are the people you'll either be working with or working for.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So that, you know, get familiar with your face, you meet them, and you meet other individuals in the company or in the workplace, and just, you know, you network yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great, huge benefit there.
Yeah. How many students are there in the program, roughly, do you know?
So 129, 119?
Yeah, somewhere around 120, 130.
So how many they graduate at? Like just a fourth of that every year or whatever?
Yeah, roughly I'd say 20-ish
I'd
or
say
so.
Around there.
It's, so there's like all the UAA, like they call them FERPA laws, where we can't technically know like how many students are in the program or like who is, and just confidential rules.
So it's off of us.
So it's
kind of,
yeah,
seniors,
yeah, it's kind of just like word of mouth, like, oh, yeah, you're in the program, yeah.
Huh.
But, yeah, I think there's roughly about 20 who graduate every year.
And you probably don't know specifically, or obviously wouldn't know specifically, but of those, how many of them go on to just get a job in the industry after they leave?
They're like a legit answer.
I do know some individuals, you know, we do have jobs lined up,
mm-hmm.
Just because we've either interned with that company or
they
just
want to keep you or whatever.
Yeah, we've just had experience with, you know, certain companies and we already have that job lined up. But
looking back to the past classes, like even last year, of the seniors that graduated, I think majority of them are working in the industry.
I would think so, especially because we hold those events as well. We held last year the speed interviewing here at mm-hmm. AGC, and then, like I said, the competition as well.
What's the speed interviewing?
So that's just, we have what, I believe 20 companies, and we meet here at AGC, and we have about 20 students, you know, looking for either an internship or a full-time job, anything,
mm-hmm.
just looking to get their foot in the door, and we just hold speed interviews. I believe they're about, 5 minutes, couple minutes long?
Last year they were 5 minutes long.
Five minutes long.
It's like it's similar to, like, speed dating where, so, like, the students rotate throughout all 20 companies.
What are you getting asked in the 5 minutes?
Basically, so, like, you have your resume, you give it to mm-hmm. them, they kind of, like, it's only 5 minutes, mm-hmm. so they briefly look over it. They kind of ask, like, what your background is.
It's your elevator speech. Yeah. You know, just you're selling yourself. And then after you're done selling yourself, then it's kind of, you know, back and forth questions. Maybe you can ask about, if you haven't already done research about the company, then you can be like, oh, tell me a little bit more about your company. You know, obviously I see you're on the civil aspect. You know, what type of project you mainly focus on, or what kind of, I guess you could ask them, like, a cool project that they worked on, something mm-hmm. like that, or...
Yeah, it's basically just like a preliminary interview that,
mm-hmm.
so like if the company likes you and you like the company, then, I mean, you set up a follow-up interview. Formal.
It's just great practice as well, you know,
because, yeah, no,
I mean, before I started working in the industry, I maybe had, one professional interview other than someone being like, can you drive, can you work, all right, you know, show up to work, rather.
Well, yeah, I interviewed some people at King Career Center, and they were saying that's one of the things that they have to teach their students is, this is how you dress for an interview, this mm-hmm. is how you act in an interview,
because it's
just not a skill set that people have naturally, so it's kind of great that they're doing that. That's a really, it sounds like a program that really is preparing you to work in the industry.
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, out of all the college programs, maybe I'm biased, but I would say it's definitely the best one as far as getting the students set up for the real world aspect. And
we've been working hard to give them an outline for the future students so that they can just kind of follow it and just have a program and everything be set up and just keep constantly bringing in new students into the industry.
So I have a couple of set questions I ask you at the end of each of my interviews. So the first one is, where you are in the program now, getting ready to exit it almost, what do you wish you knew at the beginning of it that you didn't?
What did I wish at the...
Or what was your biggest misconception? What did you walk into the program thinking, it'll be like this, but then it was totally different?
So, I mean, my previous background just working for Granite, I had a decent expectation.
The
internship or the whole program is
mm-hmm.
just working with the past people who graduated, because I mean, I worked with a bunch of students who graduated prior, and like, that set me up pretty well. So I didn't really have too many, like, just moments where I was like, oh wow.
I think the program so far has been fairly great. There just might be I'd add maybe a few extra management classes rather than those the mechanical and electrical kind of classes.
Yeah, I guess
real nitpicky kind of, you know, especially if I'm not going to go into commercial, I don't really need to know a lot of those.
It's kind of interesting because it sounds like what you're saying is like so much of the construction industry now is really about schedule management or documentation management.
Yeah.
That like all the nitpicky stuff, you're probably would be better served learning that on the job. Like if you go into an electric company, you're going to get that anyway.
Yeah.
What you really need more was a more overall stuff on management.
Right. Understanding. Yeah.
Yeah. There was one class in particular I can think where like you're calculating snow loads, which is great to know. And
yeah. Oh yeah.
But to like actually calculate the snow loads, maybe that's one thing that I didn't expect. I would think more, like you said, more the management of like, you know, how it's calculated. Maybe you don't know exactly how to calculate it, but you know what the factors are and to determine and that stuff. And just some of those stuff. So like, yeah, I feel like you're focused more on the management part of it than the actual technical aspects.
Because it's like in the real world, I can open up a book and be like, oh, look, that's how you do that. Or, get on the internet nowadays. Use a resource, use a friend and be like, hey, how do you do this again? And, boom, you're already done with it. Rather than taking, a couple months to learn it in school, you could use that for another resource, another class.
Yeah, it almost sounds like they're turning a university system into a trade school, but a trade school for the construction management.
Yeah, I would actually say that's pretty good explanation of it. It's almost the middle ground between going to a trade school and
You kind of get the best of both worlds. All right, so the other question I ask everybody when they're done, and it's usually I'm asking this of people in the industry, is, and you can answer it either from the industry or from the university, but I always ask people, what's the weirdest thing you've seen happen on a job site or at work? But you can, for you guys, it could be, what's the weirdest thing that happened in the program, or what's the weirdest thing you've experienced on the job? And I have got a myriad of answers from this one for people because,
weirdest thing or, like, craziest thing? Like, seeing a car flip over?
You pick, man. You pick.
Man. Yeah, I mean, I guess going from, like, an industry, this last summer we had a pretty major car crash. Like, when Brandon said a car flip over that.
Where was that?
This was down on the Seward Highway, that mile, the project 75 to 90 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a pretty major car crash where there's just a semi parked in our flagger line and a car came up doing like 80 and
just didn't see it.
Well, there was blinding. The sun was like setting. Mm-hmm. So it was right in the guy's eyes. God. And I mean, that when you said craziest, I think that's the craziest thing.
Yeah, something similar happened to me. We had the flagger was, had their whole line there. You had adequate signage, everything. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you just see, I was driving the opposite direction, I was doing some coring.
Mm-hmm.
And I parked my truck opposite side of the road. I see the line. Next thing you know, I just hear screeches and there's this car coming, flying down the road, miss the line of like four or five cars, goes into the ditch and hits one of the approaches,
mm-hmm.
and does a full front flip and lands on its hood, or it lands on its roof. And then we found out that person was under the influence and had no license, no nothing. Yeah. And it's like, wow.
How close to you was the car?
I literally was on the opposite side of the road and it pretty much happened right in front of me. I would say maybe like, was it like 25 feet? What's a road, 36 feet across or something like that?
Scary.
So they were right there, and that was pretty scary. Another weird thing would be is another company driving through your job site, and I just thought that was a little weird.
Checking it out?
I'm obviously not going to do names, but we had a job, and then another company truck just comes on by thinking it's okay, didn't check.
Did he have his beacon on or something?
He didn't even have his beacon. He was in his personal rig.
Oh, really?
He was in his personal rig.
Was he supposed to wait for a flagger? It was just like, I know
the
truck, I'm just going
through. Supposed to wait for a flagger.
Like he knew the secret handshake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turn on the hazards or something.
I've often thought of doing that when there's like a long line.
Do the point, you know.
Yeah. He's like, you know me.
You see the hard hat right here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in and talking about the program. I really appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us. No problem.
Anytime you guys want
to
do it.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.